Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Mages, Sages, and Seers, I'm proud to bring you my good friend Maria D'Andrea. How are you, Maria?
Wonderful. Thank you again for inviting me on your wonderful show. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to all that you have to share. I posted with today's show the promo for your book, Heaven Sent Money Spells, and a lot
yes.
of people liked it. A lot of people reacted.
Well, I always look at it as the more we help other people do better, the better the world gets. So we're meant to help others as opposed to, you know, people in our field that just hoard.
That's why
I love talking to you. I love talking to you because you're always so positive and you're always so into helping others as much as we can. So we need more of that.
Yes, and that's why I like talking to you for the same reasons. You're positive, and all of your books are so positive, and they even have the word positive in the title for a lot of them. So you've gone above and beyond in spreading positivity yourself.
Oh, thank you. You know, I always look at it as I really believe in karma, but I always look at it as there's always a positive way to achieve whatever your intent is, whatever your goal is. And as long as you're doing positive, it helps you. It helps everybody else, like that domino effect. It has to make you feel good, right?
Right. Most certainly so. And if you feel good by helping other people, then all of your magic will definitely make you feel really, really good.
You know, it's that little circle. The more you put out, the more comes back.
So you are one of the most versatile people I know in that you don't really have a simple job description. You do a lot of different things. So you offer a wide variety of diverse services to help people, including life coaching. You do life coaching as well.
Well, I really like to look at it as it's a spiritual way of being. It's motivational life coaching. And the reason I look at it like that is, first of all, like I said, we always do positive. So anything that I teach or where I help other people, it's always going to be in a positive way. And a lot of times people don't realize what their abilities are. So I help them find what their abilities are. Then you have to find, is that what you want to work with? It doesn't mean that's what you always want to work with. And then once you find what your actual goal is, then I keep them on track and make sure they're motivated. They get to where they want to go. If they have a block, we get rid of that, because sometimes inadvertently we may be blocking our good. And that could just be from something in your past life. It could be from your childhood, from other people. So once we get past all that, then everything just starts to flow. And it doesn't matter if it's in your romantic life, health, money, you know, abundance, because it's always a way to improve it spiritually. And I find a lot of it is just being spiritual in the first place and understanding that so that you can open doors. And I don't feel, and I mean this in a nice way, because I'm a shaman to Europe, but I'm a working minister. I'm interfaith. And I don't mean going to the building. I always laugh because I always think the mafia goes more than me. Which is probably not the best thing to say on the air, but, you know, truth is truth. So when I say spiritual, what I mean is people have their own belief system, whatever they call their source, and they have their own standards, their own ethics, their own theory of what's right and wrong for them. And whatever that is, if you try to live by what you believe, that's spiritual. Doesn't matter in one aspect. I always look at it as there's one source. I don't care how you get there as long as you're going in that direction. So I help people find that path, stay on it, and actually achieve whatever their goal happens to be.
I believe in the same thing. When we started the Age of Heroes initiatives in New York, like over 20 years ago, We've got together a lot of people who are spiritual, but they're all spiritual in different ways. So we had pagans, we had born-again Christians, we had Jewish mystics, we had agnostics, we had atheists, we had somebody who was a werewolf, he was a totemic shaman, we had a few vampires, we had UFO abductees, so each of the people were on their own unique spiritual path, and we were able to look past our differences of opinion as to where we came from, why we're here, where we're going after we leave here. But everybody here worked together.
Well, I always feel that whatever somebody believes, that's what's right for them. So sometimes I have people asking me, what would I say to someone to change their mind to believe what I believe? And I'm always saying, I don't do anything. I know you don't either. We don't do anything because whatever is right for them is right for them.
Right.
Doesn't mean it has to be right for us. It just means everybody should have an open mind to other people's belief system. As long as you're headed positive, that's all we really care about.
That's very true. And when I was younger, especially, I used to like exploring the different systems of belief, you know, and you'd find very startling thoughts and shock yourself out of getting too stuck in the way you saw things.
It's funny. It's one of the things that I try to explain in my money spell book is that really it's a light worker's guide to using ancient tools for modern times, or they're my spells. And it really is called spell crafting. So people misunderstand that because basically there's all different forms in the occult, or now they use the word metaphysical because occult just means, you know, ancient wisdom, hidden knowledge.
Yeah.
But whether it was, you know, whether it was pre-Christian or Egyptian or Wiccan or whatever the tradition was in ancient times, it really meant that you were developing your self-awareness and developing on a positive level. So you're getting more into spiritual levels to understand really how magic works. And I find that when you're looking at it from that form, spellcrafting basically just means that we understand the laws of nature to work with them, to create things that unify all the levels. So everything's in harmony and balance. So magic really is the oldest science. So when you're working with magic, you are making changes in a positive way. Well, honestly, you know, it can go both ways, but you and I only do positive.
Yeah,
karma is a good thing.
That most certainly is. Now, in terms of the money spells, I find that a lot of people have very negative ideas about the money, and these negative ideas tend to stand in their way because either they think that money is evil, or that you know, money is corrupting in some way, or you know, it's taboo if you're on a spiritual path. But those ideas aren't true in and of themselves.
Now, I find that people misunderstand a lot of different things, such as in the Bible, and you know, in all other forms. I'm just using that as an example. In the Bible, basically, it doesn't say money is evil. People misunderstand that. What it actually says is the love of money. So if you put the love of money first above everything else and above spiritual, that's when it's negative. Because if you look at whatever your source is, right, mine happens to be divine power. But if you look at your source wants you to be happy. It's very difficult to be happy if you're starving in the street. And the way I look at it is, the better you do in life in any form, including financially, the more people you can help. If you're starving, how are you going to help anybody?
Right.
So the better you do, the better people around you do, your family, your friends, people you don't know. We're meant to be helping each other. So as an example, I had a client, wonderful, wonderful lady, and she had that opinion too, that money was a bad thing. And she had a girlfriend that had a car, and it died on, and she had to get to work because it was one of those situations where she was in a crunch, and if she didn't get to work on time, you know, they were laying people off. She was very worried.
Right.
Now, because my friend, my client, you know, was trying to get her to work, she was trying to figure out all different ways because she couldn't afford a car herself. So I was telling her, now, if you had a car, or if you had the money to give her, lend her or something, you know, take a train, bus, cab, something, you could have helped. But if you're broke, you can't help your friend. It was funny because that one situation, which doesn't really sound that dramatic, was to her. And she turned everything around and she started working with creating. And that's really what it is. We're co-creators with all the energy in the universe. And she started creating abundance more. She was doing better money-wise. She bought a car. And we were laughing because after she bought the car, her friend never had a car problem. It's like, you can't make these things up.
No, you can't.
Really funny.
How can people start moving out of that headspace where they're experiencing lack and, you know, where they feel that all is lost? And a lot of people find themselves in that type of circumstance. What do you suggest they do to get into the proper mindset?
One of the things that I find is this. First, you have to set your mind on your intent being positive. Because if you're positive and you're working from a spiritual outlook, you know the universe, God, divine power, whatever you label your source, is trying to make your life better and to help you. We just need to allow it. So there are different techniques that you can use. So in my book, you have gemstones, oils, herbs, things that you can say, and it's for everything dealing with finance. So it could be, as an example, with luck, you know, especially gambling luck, but with just luck, there's an herb called Angelica. Now, it's also known as Archangel or Masterwort. Okay. So among its various uses, because they usually have more than one, the root of it is used by the Native Americans to bring luck into their lives. So they carry it in their pocket in a green bag. And it attracts luck, sometimes gambling luck, but it attracts luck. And I find what happens is when you start working with situations where you start seeing the outcome, the more you see the outcome, the more you work with it and trust it. And a lot of it is just trust. You have to know it's coming. So once something comes in the first time, then what happens is you start going, oh, okay, now I'm expecting it.
Right?
So once you expect it, you give it different heightened energy. And then a lot of the other ways that you can do that, you know, to add on, like I said, the second part is you have to look at what do you want from finance? Do you want to own a business? Do you want to improve a business? Do you want better fortune, as an example, with legalities or to get a better job? You have to look at what do you want from it. And after you look at that, then you have to look at whatever you gain on a financial level. What do you really want to do with it? Besides the fact that you can get a better job, as an example, what are you going to do once you get a better job? It can't be just you get a better job, because then now what? Are you going to use it to better your life? It doesn't have to be a very detailed outlook of what you want to do with the money, because you get a better job, you get a raise, right? So you don't really have to get very detailed, but you have to look at it as, well, if I have a better job, maybe I can relax a little bit more. Maybe I can be with my family more time-wise. Maybe I can give somebody something or help them. So you have to look at it a little past that. And actually, to get a better job, there's a gemstone called lapis lazuli. And if you carry that in an orange bag or in an orange pouch, it will actually attract that. Now, what I always tell people is that there's always so many different techniques and spells and methods. So if you're not comfortable with one, there's always a different one. So I find in the book, I wrote about talisman and gemstones and herbs and candles and wizardry. I like wizardry.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and prosperity and spellcraft. So they have a lot of choices. So it's not where you sit down and you read the book cover to cover. You look at, okay, what do you resonate with that you're comfortable with doing? And then you pick something in there that works for you. And then at a different time in your life, you may decide that it's something else. Now, also, what people don't realize is, well, I know you do, but other people don't realize, is that the vibration when you say something verbally out loud, okay, affects things quicker than if you're saying it mentally. I mean, sometimes we have to do it that way. But as an example, if you want your money to flow, you know, and you want money to flow now, and I would suggest people try this, because if they try it and then they start seeing results, they're going to understand the techniques a little bit more in the book. So as an example, these are the numbers. If you verbally say out loud, 426-499, okay, what you need to do is say for 28 days, and you say it 28 times in a row verbally. Now, so you're just basically doing 426-499, 426-499, and you're mentally focused on money flowing toward you now. It doesn't matter how you picture it. You can picture it as a money tree. You can see it bills with little wings on them. So you're focused on that. And verbally, it's actually hitting your subconscious mind and starts attracting it. It's really funny how that works. And within the 28 days, you see some kind of a result. But you have to say it 28 times in one consecutive time. You can say it more than once a day, but you need to do it at least once a day. You know, and it actually starts picking it up. It's funny. So there are a lot of different techniques. But, again, that has to be verbal.
So
that's one of those things where – no, go ahead.
If somebody takes a month, let's say, they put aside the month, like February has 28 days, but they can take, and they say, okay, for 28 days, I'm going to say 426-499 or 426-499. And if they say that 28 times at least in a row, at least once a day, then within that 28 days, while visualizing money flowing to you, money will flow to you.
Now, you don't say it. You wouldn't say that more than 28 times at a time. So you wouldn't say it, say 26 times and do it a little bit later to add it to 28.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be 28 in a row. Right. And then later on in the day, you can do it again, but you have to do it at least once. And you can actually see it flow. It's funny. And then once you start seeing it, then you start expecting it. And once you start expecting something, you're heightening the energy like a magnet, and it'll start coming in more. Now, after the 28 days, doesn't mean you have to stop. 4 months later, you might decide to do it again.
Right.
You know, I would give it a day in between because you want to make it a different flow.
Okay.
So after the 28 days, you don't start on the 29th and give it like 30. You know, give it a little time in between. Yeah. And the same thing with verbally, there are words of power. So if you use the word count, C-O-U-N-T, like when you're counting money, if you focus on the word count and you just repeat it whenever you feel like it, that starts coming in. It starts picking up your money. So that's a power word. And when you think about it, we use it all the time, just not consciously. If you're going to the bank, they're counting money when they give it to you. They're counting money when you give it to them. You're counting money when you get paid, when you send out money, when you're paying a bill. We're always counting money.
Right.
When you use the word count, though, you're attracting it to you so you can do all those other things. People always look at it as it has to be a necessity. No, it doesn't. It can be a vacation. It can be for fun. It can be because you decided that you wanted to buy something in the store that's frivolous. It doesn't have to be important. People misunderstand that because we're supposed to have abundant, positive, happy life. You know, right? So if a vacation is going to make you happy, and that could be for one day, a month, whatever vacation means to you, right? If that's going to make you feel good and be happy, the money will flow. So you have to be focused on what you want after sometimes, like in business. If you pick up your business, what are you going to do with the extra money? It could just be to pay bills because sometimes we're all in a crunch.
Right.
You know? Especially with what's going on nowadays.
Yes.
So it could be just for the bills, but you always want to look at it as bills end. I'm always putting out this or better because if the universe has something better for me, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. It's like part of money are just material things. So say I was working on manifesting a car, and I'm really focused on the car I want, and I'm doing this or better, and the universe gives me a better car. I'm not going to go, no, that's not the car I wanted. It's not working. And that's what happens with people sometimes.
Yes.
They're focused on one particular thing, and they want something, as an example, in the color blue. It comes in green. They're like, oh, it didn't work.
Yeah, I
no,
find that that's true. If people get overly mm-hmm. specific in what it is that they want, sometimes they'll get better things or things that are substitutes for it, but they don't realize it and they don't accept it.
No, and I always laugh because you still got your new car. Might not have been the same color, but you still got your new car, and usually it's better than what you were focused on. Yes. I always laugh because people need to look at it as, did I get what I basically wanted?
Right.
Or better. Yeah.
I always find that sometimes you get a reversal, and it seems like a bad thing initially, but then in terms of dealing with the reversal, sometimes you stumble across an easier way or a better way or a more productive way or a more profitable way
mm-hmm.
that you wouldn't have found if you didn't experience the setback. So I ask myself sometimes when I experience a setback, what's the good in this setback? What does this setback give me that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise? And sometimes that leads to a very powerful answer.
Oh, I agree. I find that so many times something comes up that I thought was going to work, then it didn't, and then something else comes in that's better down the road. That doesn't mean that the couple of months in between until the better thing comes in, I'm going, oh, this is great. But it really does work like that, and it gives you different insight. I had a lady that was a very nice lady, and she was one of my clients, and she kept saying that she really needs extra income. She didn't know how to do that. She's telling the universe, the one with the money flow, and she was saying she really needs extra income. She didn't know how to do that. And, you know, we do different things to attract abundance and finance in a positive way. That's why I have all different ways to do that in the book. And it's funny, something she never thought of. She had a house. Her children moved out as they got older, and she had all these extra rooms, and she wasn't even thinking about that. And then two of her friends, not at the same time, but two of her friends needed somewhere to live, and they started renting a room for her. She was renting out two rooms. She made extra money. She didn't have to try to work a lot harder, you know, uh-huh. and put in more hours. It just came in. And she would have never thought of that if she wasn't doing money throw and this or better.
Right.
So you never know how it's going to come in, like you said.
Sometimes you never know.
The other thing that was really funny was, because I'm a minister, this is really funny, because I'm a minister, I decided, well, you know, I'm helping people because mainly I do psychic readings, and, you know, you and I always do and,
uh-huh.
it's really another thing. So I studied to be a pastoral counselor. I was already doing life coaching and motivational because that's what we do to help people, like the books.
Right.
And because I did the pastoral counseling, I ended up doing all those things with the motivational speaking and speaking in different places on all different subjects and life coaching. And then I realized that if I just put them all together, which I didn't think of initially, I was just working on ministry. And I realized that if I put that all together, plus the psychic readings, that's the spiritual part, then it helps people so much more than doing one separately from the other, because on the psychic level, you know, you and I can tune in and see what the person really needs, what they really want, and then we have mm-hmm. some base to work from. So if they say, as an example, I had a very nice gentleman who wanted to play the guitar. He went to classes, and wonderful, wonderful guy, never really learned it. It was just not his talent. Okay? But okay. He loved music. But through time, he realized that because he was trying, the key word is trying, trying to play the guitar. He met his new girlfriend. They had a wonderful relationship, and it turned out because he was trying to find what he wants to do connected to music, more as a hobby, you know, turned out he was phenomenal with drums. Wouldn't have thought that. So you never know how these little twists and turns bring you to a very positive place in your life.
Yeah, it amazes me sometimes too. I found that I haven't done it a while because of the pandemic, but I enjoy being with people toward with the positive transitions in their life, like performing hand fastings and weddings. I used to enjoy that.
That's wonderful. It makes you feel so good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it's good to be there during a time of change. The person goes from one state to another, and they're very happy, and their entire life changes because of the event. And hopefully they can keep it positive after it changes. But that moment is usually very, very positive.
Oh, I love that. And it makes you feel so good. And it's funny. It's like a circle. The more you help people, the more you do for others, the happier you get. And I always laugh that people don't realize that sometimes. You know, it makes you feel good. We're supposed to be helping people. And especially when you look at magic, you're basically using magic to make changes. And you're making changes where you're working only for the better. So making these changes include within yourself, you know, because all our realities come down to a matter of perception. Mm-hmm. Everything's relevant. I tend to look at it as the color blue. If some people look at the color blue and it feels like a cold color to them, feels a little harsh, and then you talk to somebody that's looking at the color blue from, say, Sweden, okay, to them it's a warm color.
Right.
Same water, same color.
It all comes down to perception. True. Yeah, that is very true. That and that's why dream interpretation, which both of us work on that, I know too, is a very individual type of thing. Because like I learned this in a startling way when I was first starting out and I was doing guided visualization with people. I had to imagine being at a nice beach, and now I'm Greek, so Greece has beaches all over the place. But somebody not raised with beaches all over the place, the beach was a scary place full of burning sand or the possibility of sharks. So as I was describing the nice calming beach, some people started getting agitated and scared. And I had to find out why this was so, because my visualization, most everybody reported it was very soothing. And they would talk about, well, they were at the water, they imagined crabs biting their toes or sharks. So, okay, I can understand why you were tense. But it really made me look at the whole process of relaxation and visualization, because not everybody visualizes the same thing, or they'll add things that weren't there. And those things affect the experience a great deal. So yeah, you're right. It's all a matter of perspective and what you yourself are bringing to the situation.
And I find that it's really interesting when we, because I know you do the life coaching also, and I find it's really interesting when you find out how you can help somebody with blocking them. I love that, because once you get rid of the blocks or tone them down, okay, then they can move forward, and then they move forward really quickly. You know, plus, like I said, you have to find out what their real goals are. I look at it sometimes, and I think back when I first started, and somebody would say to me, the goal is money. And I would say, you need money for what? And they would just look at me. I'm like, no, they need money. I'm like, what are you going to use it for? You know? Now, you could use it to put it in the bank, but it has to be some kind of use.
Right.
It could be building for retirement. It could be building for a vacation or a house or a car or something, or just like I said, so you build money in the bank, because some people, that's security, emotional security. And if you need that for emotional security, that's very positive. People just look at it as they're being selfish. It's like, no, if you're not doing better, you're not helping other people. So prosperity, I find, is really a never-ending stream of consciousness.
Right.
You just have to kind of ride that wave.
Now, I bless my community fairly often, both my virtual communities online and my actual physical community. And I use a lot of symbolism from, I guess you can call it Greek mythology or my mythic spirituality, whatever way you want to look at it. And like you said in the beginning, it doesn't really matter to me. My terms for source might be different than somebody else's, as long as it works for me. That, I use the symbol of the horn of plenty a lot, or the cornucopia.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, that's a very positive one.
And I put pictures.
I love
of the
that because it's always showing it. Yeah, it's always showing it overflowing.
Yes. And that once you become aware of the symbol, you'll see that there's always some form of abundance, and it might not always be material abundance as you're used to it. But there's always abundance, and we swim in abundance of one or another. Like, it might be an abundance of love. It might be an abundance of delight. It might be an abundance of money. There's always something delightful. And once you internalize that and you look for it, you'll find it.
I really agree with you. It makes such a big difference. I find one of the things that I do first thing in the morning before I get up is I really mentally make a list of everything that I'm grateful for.
Right, me too.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if it's one thing, 20 things. Some days you're in a rush, you think of two, then you'll think of it in the car. But I try to think of things that I'm grateful for, and especially all our lives go up and down. So anytime you hit a little snag, you want to focus more on all the situations in your past that you've been blessed with. And it keeps your focus more on the positive rather than on what's not working correctly. Because whatever it is, eventually will straighten out. You just have to find where that little glitch is. And a lot of times when you change your focus, you're going to change your life.
Right. That's very, very true. And I find a simple technique, and you hear it said a lot, and I wonder why people don't, because it's so cliche, they don't take advantage of it more often. It's pausing before you react.
Yes.
Just for a few seconds. Yeah. It doesn't need to be for a long minute. It doesn't need to be something that you have to fight or wrestle with. It's just taking a pause before you react to something, especially if it's something that's, you know, that's setting you off or whatever, and just to ask yourself, what would happen if I just reacted the way my brain's telling me to react? And most of the time you find that a part of you is calm and can say, no, that'll make things worse, or, you know, that's going to lead to a good place. So you do something different. And I found since I started doing that, again, not that life is stress-free or conflict-free or, you know, life is life for everybody. But it's a lot more pleasant when you're not caught up in this reaction, you know. And that's totally in your control, you know, just like what you tell yourself is in your control. How you choose to react in the moment is totally in your control, too.
And I think people forget that, like you said. I think they forget that they have the control because the way you react sets other things into motion.
Yes.
I always look at it as, you know, like, you know, when you're playing chess, you're always 10 steps ahead mentally.
Yes.
So sometimes I look at life as chess and I go, okay, so if I do this, what's the reaction of the situation or the person, or, you know, is it worth arguing? No. Sometimes you have to stand your ground. You know, you do have to know when to, but sometimes you have to know when you need to let it go, be flexible. But you don't know that if you're just reacting.
Yes, and
so
I
think it makes a big difference.
Me too. I find it makes a really big difference. And one of the things when I used to teach college kids psychology and stuff years and years and years ago, I used to tell them to watch out for, what do you call it, like projection. Because a lot of times, and I would always tell them that, how many times does this happen to you? somebody who knows you really, really well and should know better accuses you of something that you would never do or that would be beyond your doing. That ever happened to you? And people admit that, yes, happened to them. And then I ask them to think about, have they ever done that? Have they ever accused somebody of doing anything? And the person was like outraged. And so that's how projection works. A lot of times what's going on inside of you, you project it onto other people. And that tells you more about you than it tells you about what's going on. And then if a person says the word all, so all men, mm-hmm. or all women, or all Greeks, or all psychic mediums, or all whatever, they're no longer in reality. They've written a play, and they're casting people to play parts in the play. So there too, you know, but they react to the play as if it was real.
Exactly. And we're creating a lot of our reality, yes, all the time. So when you have that type of a mindset, it makes it very different, and it doesn't better your life. You always want to make your life and other people's better in some form or another. There's like little things. I was talking to somebody in our field, in the psychic field, and she was telling me that she's a medium. So she said she has people asking her if she's psychic or a medium. So I'm saying, well, you know, it's both. Now they're separating it, which I find interesting, because if you're psychic, part of what you do is mediumship. And if you're doing just mediumship because that's the area you like and you're not doing any other form of it, you still have to be psychic to do that. So sometimes when people start labeling, there's a little part of me that just wants to laugh, because it's not worth explaining it 8 million times to people that go, no, 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 you're either a medium or you're a psychic. No, that's not how it works.
the words change. Like I remember when I was a deep trance medium, was called back then in the 70s, and now everyone's a channeler, and people aren't deep trance mediums anymore, except if you're older or you know what that was all about. But I find that interesting now too. Now you have a lot of channelers. Back in the day, it was called deep trance mediumship, and a lot of the beliefs around it change too. Like in astral projection, like, do you really need the silver cord? Because we were raised thinking that you needed the silver cord and it was attached to your body. But then people stopped expecting the silver cord. And all of a sudden, the silver cord seems to have gone away, and you don't need it that you can astral project without the silver cord. So how real was the silver cord? It was real to us, but how real, real is it actually?
And, you know, when we have experiences, because I used to do the trance, you know, all the time, you know, here and there, and I stopped because, not that I would never do it again, but when you're doing trance, people don't realize you're not there.
Right.
And I'm one of those people, because I'm an occultist, I don't like to give up 100% control.
Neither
so
do I.
So the first time that happened to me, I was working day and night and day and night on, you know, the occult side and doing readings, and it was just constant. And I went into trance by accident on that level. And I remember thinking that all of a sudden, in the middle of a reading, I was in this big gray room, and I knew there were walls and floors and ceiling, and I just didn't see it, but I knew it was there. And I remember thinking in the front of the room, there was somebody talking, and they're talking, and they're talking, and I'm thinking about all sorts of other things. And at some point, whoever was in the front of the room said something, and I remember thinking, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And then I realized I was the one talking, and it brought me right out of it. I had no idea what I said. I didn't know where I was. I'm looking at the lady that I'm talking to, and I'm thinking, did my head turn? Did my voice change? Nope, nothing. So it was funny. So I had no idea what I said to her for at least a good 20 minutes. Now, it wasn't uncomfortable, but I don't like not having any control. I have no idea what happened. Yeah, that was the first time. How about you?
The same thing. When back in the deep trance medium days, a lot of times I wasn't there, so I had no idea what happened, because you're given the option to stay or to go. And
right.
Back then, the way the procedure was you're there, you know, it would activate up your spine with different chakras until it got to your head. And then your head would feel like it exploded, like not painfully, but, you know, your consciousness exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a control. That was the spirit whose job it was to let certain spirits approach and to not let other spirits approach. And then you had like a crowd of them waiting to communicate. And then you could stay and hang out and float or do whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Or you could go somewhere else. And a lot of times, especially once it became like more routine, you know, you opt to go somewhere else. And that was always very interesting and different, and was very akin to what people, you know, experience on journeys shamanically or in the astral plane if they're travelers, or in lucid dreams, if they're dreamers. You get like these vivid things. Sometimes I'd be in Atlantis walking around. Sometimes I'd be like, you know, in like some American Indian mythic reality.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was like looking at pictures in a catalog, you know. It was always very different, but it was very interesting. And yeah, a lot of times I had no idea what was said. And then afterwards people would ask me, and I'd have no idea what to tell them, because I had no knowledge of what they told them or why.
And it's funny because people just assume, even in a psychic reading, I know what I'm saying to people at the time I'm saying it. I'm aware when I'm doing psychic readings without the trance part. So I'm aware. 2 seconds later, I don't remember what it is, because the information was not meant for me. It was meant for them. So I will tell them ahead of time, take notes, tape, record, do whatever you need to do. If you have a good memory, that's great. I'm not one of those people. I tell them, I remember them. I remember everything they said to me before the reading, after the reading, anything during the reading that's meant for them leaves. And sometimes they look at me like, oh, sure it does. You just don't want to tell me. No, I really don't remember. And what they don't realize, because you and I've been doing this forever, and I've been doing this professionally full-time since I'm 16. If
wow.
I remembered every single person and what I said, I'd be in a little padded cell. You can't hold on to all that
information.
There's
a lot of people, yeah.
So they don't realize. I think it's a safety net that's put in there,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, we don't, you know, overload, for lack of a better word, because everything's energy. Now you've got all this energy and frequency levels building. You can only do it for so long if you remembered everything.
That's why we don't remember a lot of our past lives either. You know, the amount of information and the different things that happened would affect you adversely. Even though it's again, you're acting on some part of yourself that does remember, at least senses and has learned certain things along the way. But it is very frustrating a lot of times not to know the answer. But if you did know the answer, it might be a lot worse.
You know, I find, too, when you look at children, not just that some of them remember, because some of them say things where they couldn't have possibly known that at that age, but they still remember something. Not all of them, obviously, but some. And then through time, they lose it because they don't need it in this phase of their development. However, I find when I put people back into their past lives, because I'll do that more directly, so I push them back so they see things, not with me telling them, so they're actually there. So when I put them back into their past lives, I find the first couple of times that they do that, it will be something or some ability they had then that they still have now. What I like is I can put them back so they see it. It's not me telling them. You know, because if I tell them, they're going to go, okay, how did you know? Who told you? Did you know I had that ability? No. So I like when I can just push them back energetically. You know, and then they'll tell me things. This was funny. One of my students years ago, he was in college, and now he's married. He has 3 children. You know, wonderful, 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 you know, guy. And it was really funny because he was going to go do, you know, the past lives, right? So we're doing the past lives, and he went back to Egypt, right? Which was really funny. He wasn't expecting that. So, you know, when I do that, I go with the person because I want to make sure they're safe. I don't always see what they're seeing. I'm just checking to make sure they're safe. So if they show up somewhere where it's scary to them, I just pull them back out, right?
Right.
So, and they're always safe. So, you know, he goes back to Egypt. I went with him. So when he came out of it, he says to me, kidding around, he says, you know what? He said, you can't say that anybody else has ever taken you to Egypt besides me. Then when he had his kids and his, you know, wonderful wife and family, and he go, I took her to Egypt. You know, and he was, you know, more connected to different cultures. You would never have thought Egypt. So you don't know where your past life was. But it was very interesting because he had some of the same abilities in college. He was very analytical, and he had some of the same abilities in college that he had in a past life in Egypt. So it's interesting. You never know.
You never know, and we do know on one level, we do know what our life work is. We do know, you know, what we should be doing or why we came here. But we get distracted, and sometimes we get lost. But I, looking back in my life, you know, I and again, I've gotten distracted and I've gotten lost too. Now I'm in my 60s and getting around to things I should have maybe done in my 20s or 30s. But I can honestly say I knew these things in my teens and my 20s and 30s. All those answers were already there. But
right.
I let the world convince me that they weren't real or that it was imaginary or whatever. But as I've gotten older, I've seen that, you know, yeah, we do know from the beginning.
I find that, too, when we're working with manifesting money as an example. There are so many different forms that you – it's just about impossible not to find a form that you're comfortable with.
Right.
That's why I like the variety. Yeah. Because if somebody doesn't resonate with one, they'll resonate with something else. And that's why I like, as an example, the power word, because that's not something you have to buy, do. You don't have to do rituals. You know, now, sometimes you want to do rituals. It depends on what you want to do at that time. Because I know with me, and I'm sure you've had this, that through time, I keep adding different things on and expanding. That's why we do 8 million different types of things.
Right.
You know, it's all spiritual, but, you know, they're all based spiritually in one form or another, but they're all spiritual. And that's why I love when you do your show, you have interesting subjects, interesting people. You're helping people expand their awareness. I find when I'm doing public speaking, I'm not that interested in if somebody agrees with me or doesn't agree with me, but it gives them something to think about. And then they can decide for themselves if it resonates for them or not.
Yeah,
but I think we try to help them expand.
I'm of the same mind. I tell people that something that they tell me when I'm teaching a class might change my mind, and I might see things very differently.
Exactly.
But that I share with them the best that I've been able to gather in the 6 decades plus I've been on this planet. But again, I'm open to change because I've learned that I am capable of seeing things not correctly, you know, or things not correctly, and that's okay. I mean, you know, we
right.
do these
I'm right there with you.
We use them to navigate, and all we could do is share the best that we found. And one of the things I love about you and your work is you give people a variety of ways of doing things. There's no one right absolute way, and if you do it wrong, you're going to burn in the lake of fire, you know, or you're going to suffer misfortune or whatever. It's different ways. And I approach exercise the same way, too. I'll do something, and then I'll do something else. And this way, I avoid a lot of the plateaus that people hit because I'm always trying new things.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I do the same thing because people don't realize you have to be relatively healthy to be able to do spiritual work. Yeah. Because you're helping others. You need the energy. You need to build energy ahead of time. So I do the same. I do different types of exercises. And then I can teach Tai Chi and Qigong. So I'm always switching different techniques. And sometimes you're just doing, you know, walking, lifting weights, yoga, Pilates, martial arts.
Uh-huh.
It depends on where your energy flow is at the moment, I find. You know, I find sometimes I resonate more with one type than the other, like you said. And then your body will tell you.
Yes. My body told me a couple of weeks ago that it's time to change my workout. And the way it told me this was I love exercising. I look forward to it. But mm-hmm. 1 week, for 3 of the 7 days, I just let the exercise go. I got busy doing other things so I could justify it and excuse them. Say, oh, but no, that's not me. I feel guilty if I don't exercise.
No, I understand that.
So 3 days, so I asked my body, okay, what should I do? And I just instinctively switched how I exercise my body parts and switched the days. And now I can do it again every day, and I look forward to it, and I love it. But what I was doing before, my body said no.
And that's really true, because when you're paying attention to, you know, your inner workings, your spirit actually tells you. And it's funny because I get the same thing, because I'll be doing something with martial arts for a while. And then not that I get bored as much as my body goes, why? Not today. And then I'll do the same thing you do. I'll find all sorts of other things to do that could have waited. You could have waited like an hour or half an hour, whatever I have time for that day. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm not really in the mood. And then mentally we start going, okay, why is my body telling me I'm not in the mood? What's wrong? You know, do I need to shift? You know, because people forget that abundance includes health.
Yes. Yeah.
So not that we never get sick, because we're human. Okay. But we just look at it differently and we work it differently. Because I find if I'm not feeling well, the first thing I do is I kick in healing. But the other thing that I do is I go, okay, what caused this and why am I having this? And what does it mean? So I change it. And so we function a little bit differently than most of society. But everybody can do that. That's why I love that you and I teach.
Yes. And again, a lot of times you never know what will work. Like I was in a gem shop in Jersey a few years ago, and then I wound up teaching classes there. But the woman who owned the store, a very wonderful woman, she did a lot of like gemstone stuff. And although I've studied gems, especially crystal quartz, which was known as Olympian ice or crystallos in antiquity, so of course I had to learn about that. But she had said
right.
that if you have citrulline in your wallet, you'll never run out of money in your wallet. So, you know, it's like,
nice.
Okay, so I bought a piece of citrulline and I put it in my wallet. And it's true. Not that my wallet is always filled with money, but my wallet has not been empty since that day. I've had something in my wallet, sometimes a lot
exactly.
more than I normally have in my wallet. So, again, it seemed to work. And I am going to try your two suggestions today because, again, like you, I like to experiment. So I will say count as often as I can remember and imagine a bank teller counting money and piling in front of me. And I will say 426-499 28 times a day, at least for 28 days.
And, you know, the funny part is they work, because I have nothing in my book that I haven't done myself.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
Because, and they're all positive. I don't ever write anything that's negative. We don't do that. We work on the light side, you know.
Right.
And it's funny. One of the reasons that I have all different techniques in the book is just like the exercise. Sometimes you resonate more towards one, sometimes more towards the other, you know, and it'll shift through time what you're interested in or what pulls you
yes.
more. But abundance is abundance. And I always feel that the better we do, the more people we can help.
Yeah,
so if you look at it from that point, then it's easier for it to come to you, because I find the more you give, the more that comes back, not necessarily from the same source. But I find I'm very happy giving. And this is funny. I was talking to a couple of people a while ago in one of my classes, and I'm trying to explain this. I find when I get a bill in the mail, everybody goes, oh, I have a bill. I'm one of the few people going, yay. because when I get a bill, I send the money out immediately. I don't wait for the deadline because there's a law of tenfold, which is a whole other thing to bring in money, right? But there's a law. So as it goes out, there's a technique to it. It comes back in, okay? And when you do that, you can actually see the money picking up. So I'm like, oh, great, I'm making more money. I send it out. It comes back 10 times more. I'm good.
Yeah.
It doesn't always come back from the same source. So, like, if I send $10 out, I might get two here. I might find a dollar. Somebody gave me something else. But it'll come back 10 times more. It's actually funny. Yeah. Our sense of humor gets a little strange, right?
Yes, but that's part of the fun. That's why I enjoy talking to you. You're very knowledgeable. You're very positive. You're very experimental, and you're lots of fun, Maria. You are lots of fun. So our conversation is coming to an end again today.
It goes so fast.
I know. How can people get in contact with you? Where can they buy your 65 plus books? That is an awesome thing.
A lot of years. Well, they can go to Amazon, or they can actually go to Inner Light Publications. It'll actually say innerlightpublications.com, which is connected to Timothy Beckley. That's still active. And my cell number is 631-559-1248. And my email address is just my first initial last name. So it's mdandrea100@gmail.com.
Incredibly awesome. And are there any new adventures coming on the horizon? Are you starting or doing anything new that we should look forward to or that I could draw attention to?
Well, one of the things is I'm getting a little bit heavier back into the spiritual motivation life coaching, because I find with all the chaos going on in society right now that it helps people get centered and it helps people move forward. So I'm a little bit more focused on that right now, including, you know, readings and everything else that we all do.
That is awesome, and people got a sample of your personality on the show today, and you're even more fun when you're teaching. If anyone is around the things you're doing, I suggest that they check them out and experience you firsthand. Maria is also very knowledgeable about, as you can see, a wide variety of magical and spiritual topics. She's also a fellow shaman, and her native, mythic structure or living mythology is Hungarian, whereas mine is Greek. But there's a lot in common between those two mythical systems. So I always enjoy talking about those things. And I'm going to have a shamanism episode just so we can catch up with each other on that.
That would be great.
Maria, wonderful. Thank you so very much. Happy belated Valentine's Day.
You too. And thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for being here. I always enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the next time.
Great. It's really wonderful. Thank you again. And happy Valentine's Day, too.
Thank you. And happy Valentine's Day to all the listeners, whether you called in and you patiently waited in the queue while we did our thing, or whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to check on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And let's see what song we can close with today. Golden Bough, because that's magical and shamanic. Thanks again, Maria.
Thank you so much.
He stood with the stars in and the trees whispered soft words of the wise. Time stood still and the spirits heard her sigh, and they danced to the music of her cry.